This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie.
Hi, this is Bob Lentz, manager of Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Ford Motor Company has an exclusive offer for Illinois Farm Bureau members. Get a $500 bonus cash savings off a vehicle MSRP towards the purchase or lease of any eligible Ford or Lincoln vehicle. Certain eligibility restrictions apply. See your Ford Lincoln dealer for complete details and qualifications. Join Montgomery County Farm Bureau today for this and other great benefits.
Did the company providing your oxygen supplies go missing, not providing enough supplies, or not showing up for equipment maintenance? Call Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville, your local provider of in-home oxygen, concentrators, and portable oxygen. They take the time to understand your needs and concerns. Call Michelle's Pharmacy for your oxygen supplies in Carlinville, 854-4022, or Gillespie, 839-9901, or visit michellespharmacy.com.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
And it's 6:11 on this Tuesday morning. Friday quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March wheat closed at 6.52¾, up 7.5. May wheat closed at 6.71¼. Up 6.5. July wheat closed at 6.86¼. That was up 6.5. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 6.46½, up 8.5. May corn closed at 6.54¾, up 8.5. July corn closed at 6.61¼, up 8¾. January soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 11.98½, up 11. May beans closed at 12.07¾, up 10¾. May beans closed at 12.17½, up 10¼. January soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 309.40, up 28. March meal closed at 313.10, up 23. May meal closed at 315.80, up 20 cents. January soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 52.09, up 95. March oil closed at 52.42, up 90. May oil closed at 52.78, up 91. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain report from Friday.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices were higher on Friday afternoon. The dry forecast for crops in Brazil and Argentina was the fuel to again drive grain prices higher. Weekly export sales figures for soybeans were above expectations at 663,200 metric tons. Corn and wheat sales were under expectations, with corn at 345,200 metric tons, and wheat totaled 431,200 metric tons. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 to 9 cents stronger at 6.29 to 6.42, and soybeans were up 11 cents at 11.72 to 11.88. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids gained 9 cents, ranging from 6.38 to 6.53. Soybeans advanced 11 to 12 cents at 11.78 to $12 even, and wheat bids mostly 7 to 8 cents higher at 6.33 to 6.46. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills report those corn bids a 9 cents higher, ranging from 6.32 to 6.40. Soybeans were up 9 to 11 cents at 11.86 to 11.89, and the wheat prices 7 to 8 cents higher at 6.38 to 6.46. Illinois River barge letting elevators quoted producer corn bids 8 to 11 cents stronger at 640 to 646. Soybeans gained at 11 to 13 at $12 to 1207. And new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery 5 to 6 cents higher at 642 to 651. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 10 cents stronger at 661 to 662. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 12 to 14 cents with quotations at 1212 up to 1221. Soft red winter wheat gained 8 cents on Friday, ranged from 661 to 662. And Milo also 8 cents higher at 645 to 646. That is our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Board of Trade Friday, February hogs closed at 84.30, up 32 cents. April hogs closed at 87.70, down 2 cents. May hogs closed at 94.82, up 42 cents. December cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 122.90, up 32. February cattle closed at 121.45, down 90. April cattle closed at 125.45, down 77 cents. January feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 146.35, down 52. March feeders at 148.80, down a dollar. April feeders closed at 150.17, down 85 cents. The Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Friday, December 30th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels, and gilts closed 48 cents lower. Carcass-based price range is 77.72 to 79 even. Weighted average, 77.87. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 16,300. Illinois Dirks Brown Gilt trade steady, 53 to 58, with Illinois Dirks Slaughter Sow steady. U.S. 1s to 3s, under 400 pounds, and 400 to 450 pounds at 43 to 48. 450 to 550 pounds at 45 to 50. Over 550 pounds at 48 to 50. Today's estimated receipts, 400. Thursday's actuals, 900. And for the week, 3,981 head. Pork carcass cutout, 85.16, and that is down 87 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter into federal inspection. Hogs on Friday, 427,000. Saturday, 241,000. Week to date of 1,967,000. And year to date, 109,967,000. Cattle Friday, 126,000. Saturday, 22,000. Week to date, 539,000. And year to date of 33,543,000. Box beef cutout values were steady on light demand and offerings. Total movement today, 104 fabulas and 41 trim. Choice, 194.73, and that is up a nickel. Select at 179.44, and that is unchanged. Thursday, there was no walnut livestock auction in observance of the holidays. The next sale will be January 5th. There was a special bred cow sale at the Carthage Livestock Auction Thursday. 705 head sold. Trade was active with very good demand. Several consignments of high-quality purebred fancy offerings included. Young, medium, and large frame stock cows traded at $975 to $1,025 a head. Young, medium, and large frame second stage cows from $1,375 to $1,600. With young, medium, and large frame third stage cows from $1,150 to $1,425 a head. Young, large frame second stage cows traded at $1,400 to $1,900. With middle-aged large-frame second-stage cows at $1,350 to $1,900 and aged large-frame second-stage cows at $870 to $1,200 a head. Young large-frame third-stage cows from $1,400 to $1,700, middle-aged large-frame third-stage cows $1,300 to $1,675, and aged large-frame third-stage cows at $910 to $1,100 a head. Young, medium, and large-frame number one cow-calf pairs traded from $1,650 to $2,400 a pair. Middle-aged, medium, and large-frame number one cow-calf pairs at $1,375 to $1,650. High-quality, purebred, fancy offerings of the sale. Young, medium, and large-frame third-stage cows, a few at $1,925. Large-frame second-stage young cows, a couple at $3,000. Young, large-frame third-stage cows traded from $1,875 to $5,000, with middle-aged, large-frame third-stage cows from $2,200 to $7,000 a head. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange on Friday, January, Class 3 milk closed at $17.26, down 19. February milk at $17.43, down 18. March milk closed at $17.46, down 8 cents. Butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for January closed at 161.50 unchanged. February butter closed at 163.50 unchanged. And March butter closed at 165.50 unchanged. Non-fat dry milk for January closed at 140 unchanged. February non-fat dry milk 140 unchanged. And March non-fat dry milk at 140 and a quarter unchanged. Spot prices for Class 3 milk closed Friday at $18.77. That was down 30 cents. Non-fat dry milk at $1.45 unchanged. And butter at $1.59.5. That also unchanged. The bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated, January corn to Greenfield, $6.48. To Scottville, $6.41. Beans delivered to either Greenfield or Scottville, $11.86. Wheat to Scottville, $6.25. For more information or to confirm the bids, phone 368-2888. Once again, the pre-opening prices, corn at Greenfield, $6.45. Corn at Scottville, $6.37. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $11.85. Wheat at Scottville, $6.25. The DTN general opening call for today, corn 3 to 5 higher, beans 5 to 7 higher, wheat 4 to 6 higher. The overnight crude oil market was 257 higher at 101.40, Brent crude 282 higher at 110.82. The February gold contract, $26.60 higher at 15.92.40, and the U.S. dollar index 0.648 lower at 79.694. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday morning, brought to you by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar showing no precipitation in the Mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
As the weather turns cold and the temperatures drop, your diesel engines work harder than ever. Now is the time to get the diesel fuel that works as hard as your equipment, FS Diesel X Gold. It gives your engines the power and protection they need all winter long. FS Diesel X Gold can be winterized with SureFlow 4, which ensures maximum performance during the coldest winter temperatures. See M&M Service Company for the diesel fuel that gives your engines greater power, protection, and fuel economy. Give your engines FS Diesel X Gold. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Whether you're a municipality, business, or individual, Carlinville Truck Equipment has the Henderson Dump Body, Snowway Plow, or Salt Spreader to fit your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment has its equipment ready for immediate delivery. Plus, as always, Carlinville Truck still has you covered for all your truck equipment services, your repair needs, farm bodies, hoist, van bodies, lift gates, service bodies, or any other truck equipment you might need. Call them at 854-6706 or see them on the web at ctemi.com.
Sunny skies today. We will have high temperatures in the low 30s and light south winds. Tonight, mostly clear. Low temperatures in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies, the high in the low 40s. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, mostly clear. Low temperatures in the mid-30s, high temperatures in the mid to the upper 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, light west winds. The barometric pressure is steady. Clear skies, 14 degrees on this Tuesday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Craig, what should people know about Cruz's service department?
Well, Leslie, whether you need preventive maintenance, new tires, or alignments, you can be sure to get solid, accurate, and competitively priced service by Cruz's ASE-certified technicians.
Or, if your current vehicle's emptying your wallet, come check out our huge selection of deals at any of our locations. Don't drive to the big city just to be counted as a number. Let Cruz Enterprises show you how to make your car buying experience an exceptional one.
Come see us today in Girard, Verdon,
and Auburn.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you on this Tuesday morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. Over the weekend, the weekly hay sale at the Hamilton Ag Auction went well. We talked to Mike Hamilton. He gives us this update.
Yeah, we had a very large buyer attendance this past Saturday, and we also had a lot of hay to offer. We ended up with 1,857 small squares. We had 868 bales of a straight alfalfa, and it was in a price range from $450 to $850 a bale. We had 125 small squares of grass alfalfa from $450 to $7 a bale. The orchard grass was from $450 to $630, and we had a lot of utility, just kind of common grass hay, and it was from $360 up to $790 a bale. We ended up with 317 bales of straw, and it was from $270 to $330 a bale.
Now, this is I was going to ask, is the quality of your hay still running pretty good?
You know, overall, the grass hay was a little questionable this week, but most of the alfalfa orchard grass was really nice hay. And then in the big squares, we had 309 bales. The alfalfa, we had 54 bales of them, and it was in a price range from $85 to $106 per bale. We had 125 bales of alfalfa grass, and it was from $85.50 to $126 a bale. We had 28 bales of orchard grass at $86. We had 27 bales of mixed grass at $76. And we had 75 bales of 3x3 straws from $40 to $41 per bale. In the round bales, we ended up with 110 bales. We had some rye grass at $81. We had some round bales of straw at $34. We had some fescue orchard grass mix at $83 a bale. And we had some mixed grass hay from $71 to $82. We had some really nice orchard grass net wrapped at $90 a bale. And we had some clover at $69 a bale.
Mike, I might be putting you on the spot here a little bit, but how do those prices compare with your last sale on Christmas Eve?
Well, to be honest with you, the quality of the hay this week was, in the small squares, wasn't as good as the week before. The week before, we had a couple piles of hay brought as high as $12.20. Overall, the small squares, I'm going to call them $1 to $1.50 lower. The big squares, I'm going to call them steady. And on the round bales, they were steady to instances $10 to $15 a bale higher.
When can folks start bringing in hay for your sale this Saturday?
They can. We accept hay on Fridays from noon on. But if anybody needs to bring hay in earlier in the week, they need to call me on my cell phone at 618-410-4293.
And Mike also has a website for more information. That website, HamiltonHayAuction.com. Once again, HamiltonHayAuction.com. Also in our farm news, last week we talked to DTN meteorologist Bryce Anderson. He's been a meteorologist since 1991 on radio and television, and he gives us a forecast for the spring planting season.
The way things are looking, Randy, we've got a weak to moderate La Nina in effect out in the Pacific with cool water temperatures and the barometer configuration that promotes a drier wintertime scenario over much of the Midwest. Now, as we go into spring, we're looking for La Nina to still be around. And one of the impact features of La Nina for the southern half of the Midwest and then east through the Ohio Valley and then northeast to the eastern Great Lakes during the spring is that there is a better chance of precipitation, but it's going to come in the form of probably a stormier weather pattern. So I think we're going to have a two-way scenario to work with going into spring. That is, rainfall chances will increase, and so that will help the soil moisture supplies, certainly over the southern half of Illinois and then into the Ohio Valley. But along with that, we could get a fairly potent round of severe weather to work with. And so I think that those are two things that we have to sort of watch for. I don't think we're going to be nearly hit with the degree of rainfall that we had last year when it was wet enough that it really caused some problems in terms of delayed planting. But we are going to probably have a stormier spring than we usually do because of the presence of La Nina still around as we go into this coming spring season.
A little closer term, do your predictions and models show like a lot of snow over the next, say, 6 weeks to 2 months?
Right now, they really don't, and the reason for that is that we just haven't seen a sustained pool of cold weather develop over the Canadian prairies to spill southward into the Midwest. This is a big difference from the last 2 years when we had a couple things working. First of all, an Arctic oscillation feature out in the Atlantic that was a negative situation. Led to standing high pressure develop over Greenland, and the result was that weather systems from Alaska trying to cross north central Canada were pretty much held up. Cold air pooled as a result and then spilled south into the Midwest. That led to a kinking of the jet stream, a bending of that polar jet from the Arctic all the way south into the north central part of the country, and kept things certainly colder and stormier than we're used to. We just don't have that this year with more of a positive oscillation feature out in the Atlantic. So that's kept cold air from really building up. And as long as we have that going on, and right now it doesn't look like it's going to change very much, as long as we have that in place, so we're going to stay pretty much on the mild side as we think about conditions from here on over the Midwest going into the rest of this winter.
The jet streams you just mentioned, they run predominantly, say, from like the northwest to the southeast, and they kind of fluctuate on the map, don't they?
They certainly do. A year ago, the main jet stream track, or the main jet stream character over the Midwest, was that polar jet. That tends to be a stronger jet stream than, say, the subtropical jet that occurs mainly over the southern latitudes and, can be a player in that regard. Wintertime, the polar jet is the stronger one because of a greater thermal contrast. And right now, we see that polar jet well to the north because we just don't have the encouragement, so to speak. We don't have the support from colder air pooling. That has allowed a subtropical jet to be a little bit more of a player this year. That's one reason why we've seen some rain develop over parts of Texas and a little bit of rain and snow move into the southern plains. They still need more, but they've got a little break from that, and that's helped to slide eastward into the Delta and parts of the eastern Midwest as well. But right now, we find ourselves kind of caught in the Midwest between jet streams. With that quiet period that we're finding ourselves in, it keeps things pretty much on the dry side for us.
Those folks in the southwest you mentioned, like in Texas and Oklahoma, that precipitation they've received has been a godsend, but is it going to be enough?
I don't think it is in and of itself without further moisture of some type. And over the next couple weeks, the best rain chances will be in southeastern Texas, with very little additional in the Texas Panhandle. So they're still not out of the woods by any respect. There is the effect of a historic drought that Texas had. We had many, many all-time high temperature records broken in Texas last year with that tremendous drought that they have been going through. And there's been all sorts of implications from that. We're looking at cropping decision changes that are going on because of a lack of water, and there's also been a big drawdown in cow herds because of a lack of water to support pastures and stock ponds. So that portion of the country's agriculture has gotten into a situation that is really going to take several years to work out of.
That was meteorologist Bryce Anderson. On the horse program over the weekend, we talked to Frank Bowman of the Illinois Horsemen's Council, and we talked about pending legislation affecting the horse industry in both Springfield and Washington.
Well, in both places, we don't know for certain yet, but there's probably going to be several new bills introduced that we'll be watching, both advantageous to the horse community and probably some bills that try to put some more constraints on our ability to responsibly own and keep our horses. So we'll be watching that, keeping the community updated. you know, we have a fantastic legislative section on our website for folks who are interested in following those issues, and I'll be sure to alert you when that comes new and in Springfield. In Washington, we've had the approval of the Ag Appropriations Bill, which did not include a prohibitory rider that we've seen for the last 5 years on inspections for horse processing in the U.S., Randy, and it's that's kind of generated a lot of news and a lot of interest, and you know, it's a very emotional subject that that I know that we've talked about over the years here, and but what this does is clears the path to negotiations for if there was to be a plant open in the United States for USDA personnel to provide the necessary inspections, the meat inspections for shipment interstate or internationally. And while we will probably not see another plant in Illinois, you know, to do that would take legislative action to overturn the prohibition that got put in place here back in 2007. But there are other states who are willing to step up to the plate to take care of a very serious problem that's been created through this prohibition, mostly western states, although we may see Missouri or even Tennessee come up with a facility here. There are some in the planning there. So, you know, what people most people need to understand, though, is that you know, it's all about being responsible for your horses. This particular issue may not affect you and your horses, and it may not be about your horses, because you know, you're a responsible horse owner. You take good care of your horses. You provide them the necessary food, water, shelter, and veterinary care when they need it. And you're willing to do that through the rest of their natural life, but unfortunately, there's a huge problem with unwanted and abandoned horses that's been created nationally through these proposed prohibitions, and that's the issue that we need to deal with. That's the issue we need to work to find a solution for. You know, the organizations that are promoting that particular agenda, they talk a lot about you know, the abuse and the abandonment, and yet they're not offering us any solution. So as an industry, we're working forward with issues like the Do Not Slaughter Registry that we've put in place, working with United Horsemen, and it allows you to enter your horse into a registry to prohibit that if you're worried about that as a possibility somewhere down the line. So you know, we are moving forward as an industry. We are trying to make some proactive steps to take care of our own situation. As everybody knows, the market is pretty sad. You know, we need to find new ways to get new people involved in horses. We need to get more folks coming, taking lessons, coming out riding, learning about horses in general, and be real cautious about the horses that we're breeding, because there's just a you know, we do have a responsibility for the life of those animals, and we need to step up to that responsibility, Randy.
That was our guest on the horse program over the weekend, Frank Bowman of the Illinois Horsemen's Council. We'll have more with Frank later on the Farm Show. Once again, the DTN general opening call: corn 3 to 5 higher, soybeans 5 to 7 higher, wheat 4 to 6 higher. The overnight crude oil market, 257 higher at 101.40, Brent crude 282 higher at 110.82, and the February gold contract 26.60 higher at 15.92.40. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.